Grab an earful of liberty.
What is it the gentlemen wish? What would they have? Is life so dear and peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of pens and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God! I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death!
Freedom! Never sounded so good.
Okay, folks, time to listen up. Here's a disclaimer for everybody to listen to and realize. I do shows here on the Survival Circle, specifically in the Tinker Shop. I have been known, and I will continue to give lessons on how to build tools and how to do some weapons. These lessons are not intended to encourage people to go out and build weapons and to act like the local Cuisinart. Many of these things can slice, dice, chop, pierce, and otherwise maim and harm people if used incorrectly. These are meant for educational purposes and for enlightenment. So, with that said, we'll go ahead and proceed to discuss things and to learn more. Thank you.
Take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
your path has led you to the Tinker's Shop. I welcome you. Please, come in, sit down, have a seat. We all must remember that we are the library for those who come after us, and we must share our knowledge with those who need it.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free, you can't take the sky from me. Take me out, choose black, tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea, you can't take the sky from me. There's no place I can be since I found serenity. But you can't take the sky from me.
Well, good evening, my friends. Yes, here we are. It's another Saturday night, and it's, what, 9 p.m. Central Time? Yes, like I said, Saturday night here, and you're listening to the Tinker's Shop here on the Survival Circle. So, if I sound a little odd tonight or whatever, it's because I'm afraid I kind of, shall I say, overdid it today. Got busy out here. We're getting a new asparagus bed worked up here. We started getting out here and working in the gardens this weekend. Or I should say, I got out here and started working in the gardens this weekend. We have, what, 6 adults and 2 teenagers here in the household, and well, today, let's see here, I had had the Nugget. He came out and helped me for a couple hours. It was good help. And She Who Must Be Obeyed also came out for a while, and then she said, we need to go down and get some stuff here, and then she said, yep, Les, you need to stop. You're getting tired, you're getting shaky. And she's right, I was. So, okay, so we'll be going ahead tonight here and talking about homemade arrow points. And I suppose I should preface this by saying this is, what, part 7 is what I call my Do Unto Others sequence. And this is part 3 of the bows and arrow portion. And tonight, this part is, like I said, I guess you can entitle it Homemade Arrow Points. So, anyway, well, oh gee, here, I went and forgot what I should have said way back at the beginning. Yes, welcome everyone here to the Tinker's Shop for April the 18th of 2015. Thank you, everyone who is here in the chat room joining me tonight. Welcome, everybody who is listening in the podcasts or in the archives. Okay, so, well, we do have a website tonight that you can, you know, follow along if you so choose. And to get to that, again, if you're in the chat room, go ahead over to the left side and click on Tinker's Shop. If you are just, you know, listening, you know, podcast-wise and aren't in the chat room, you'll have to go out to www.arlinn, A-R-L-I-N-N, and then a hyphen, and then tower, tower.com, /tinkers_shop. And Tinkers, as always, is capitalized. Okay, so, okay, and then when you get out to, you know, the Tinker's Shop homepage, as always, we'll have a grid in here on the right-hand side. If you go down to the top of the grid, you'll see a link there that says Arrow Points. Go ahead and click on that, And that will bring us to the homemade arrow points page. Okay, so, the page here is kind of, shall we say, a little bit skimpy tonight. My usual big block there at the top is kind of empty right now. I'll probably go ahead and get something more put into there in the next couple of days, just as a little bit more of an explanation, I guess you could say. But what we're going to do here tonight, like I said, is just basically kind of cover three different kinds of arrow points one can make. Broad points, bodkin points, and spoon points, believe it or not. Yes, the humble teaspoon and tablespoon can also be fitted onto an arrow with a little bit of work. And we're going to pause here just for a second. Okay, yes, I'm back. Sorry about that. I had to close a window and a door here. We had some extra noise in the background. I don't know if you can hear it or not anymore, but my oldest son here, he decided now, once I came in and started trying to record, I guess he decided he was going to start chainsawing up some wood out here in the yard. So, what can I say? Okay, so, well, here we go. Okay, arrow points. First one we're going to talk about is broad points, or, broadhead arrow points. And we've got a couple different, a couple different ways of doing them. If you go ahead to the top picture here, I just have one here where I just have it labeled mounted plate broadhead. And, this is, that's a good example of how they'll look once you make one. Made from, like 1/8-inch steel plate. That can actually, you can see on here it's been, sanded or ground a little bit. And also, the edge on there has been, when it was heated and hammered, hammered an edge somewhat into it, and then gone ahead and, when they completed it, the person went ahead and, ground it, and or sanded it a lot. Okay, so the first one here, that was the first picture. The second picture down here is one where person had gotten some, perforated sheet steel, and this is probably about, my guess is probably about an 18 gauge sheet metal. This type of thing is used for, for example, if you're fastening together a couple large chunks of wooden beam, with the perforated plate, you can get your screws and nails put in, to hold things together, and you'll have a lot of options for doing it. So this particular one here, someone had gone ahead and traced out a broad point on there, between the holes in the metal. So that's, that's the first thing you're going to have to do if you're making a broad point. If you use a plate like this with holes in it, obviously you're going to have to work, around the holes, when you lay your template out to draw around it. Or, like in the next picture down, this is a broadhead point that's traced out onto a piece of flat stock steel. And the flat stock steel, or plate, whichever way you want to call it, plate would be a larger one, just, flat strap stock would be, referred to as flat stock. And in both of the top one, those holes are probably about an inch and inch apart, up and down, and about a little over an inch and an eighth, almost inch and a quarter, side to side. And this the third picture, the one, like I said, where it's traced out on steel flat stock, that's probably, again, I'd say probably about an inch to an inch and a quarter wide. And looking at that, I would say it's probably about either an eighth or 3/16 thick. Again, you know, the flat stock like this is fairly inexpensive to get. And if you get flat stock like this, it's usually a mild steel, which is a good one to work with. It's easy. It's a bit softer, and it can be hardened when your project is completed. Okay, so see if we go down to the next picture here. You can see where you've made your first couple cuts on it. Up above there, you can see where the whole arrowhead was laid out on the whole, strip of steel. And what the place we're looking at here, it shows where both the rough blade shape has been cut out. So you have both blades there. And on the right hand side, again, you can still see where the tang of the arrowhead has not been cut out. Now on the, eighth inch plate like this, or 3/16, obviously you're not going to be able to cut it with the shears. This would be a case of having to cut it either with something like a hacksaw. You could file it out, but it would take a long time. Another option would be, if you heat your metal, you could always take and use a hot cut chisel and work your way along, and then obviously refine the edge with files. But in this case, what was done was it was cut out with a hacksaw. It's basically a case of following the lines. So once the point is cut out like this, if we go ahead to the next picture down, you'll see where the tang has been cut out. The way that's done, if you have at the longest point of the tang, what you'll do is cut across the metal, so you'll have just the two more portions to remove. So once you have it cut off to length, for the tang length, then what you'd have to do would be go ahead and cut in from the sides almost to your line. You never want to have a super sharp right angle there. You want to have it, take it almost to that point, or you can cut it in a little bit more diagonally. And once you have your cuts in from the outside edge coming into your central portion of your tang, then you would go ahead, upend it in your vise and cut the lengthwise portion of it. So then you'll have basically what looks like a classic arrowhead shape. And now if we go down here to the next one, where I have it here where it says, tang cut out. This is a photo of where it's been, somewhat a lighter metal. Again, this is going back to where it's like about an 18 gauge metal, and that would have possibly been able to be cut out with like a shears or a tin snips. Or again, like I said, if you have nothing else, one could always chisel it out by following the line and carefully doing it. And let's see here. And also the tang on that would be done the same way as the other one. You cut out the long pointed portion first, Then you come back and get the tang afterwards. Okay. Okay, next shot here. What I'm going to do is, after I get through with this portion here, I'll probably take a short break and get some music in here, and then we'll come back and continue on. Okay, so this next shot here I have where I comment that the blades are sharpened. First they're hammered, and then filed. And again, this is a case of where using a heavier stock, like I said, like an eighth or 3/16 of an inch thick, now, that's going to be a pretty thick arrow, obviously, or pretty thick arrowhead. But, eighth inch is what you probably want to shoot for when you get done. Because eighth of an inch thick, it's not going to bend on you. You know, cause if you're shooting a deer or whatever, obviously you don't want the point to bend, because then it's wrecked. So what you can do with a plate broadhead like this, so you can heat it up, if you have a forge, and it's just like I've talked about with making knife blades or sword blades, you can actually hammer the edge of it. You lift it up just to here on your side where you're not hammering, the side that you're going to hammer on. You strike that at an angle, and that'll start compacting the molecules of the steel inwards a little bit, and it'll also stretch it out more towards a wedge shape. Once you've gotten that roughly formed, then you can go ahead and use a file or a stone and sharpen it. I myself, I would say, these days, if a person's going to make one, you wouldn't necessarily have to use a stone. You'd use files to start with because they're available. But you can go ahead and get your edge on the blades, sharpened pretty darn well that way. And you could also clean up the faces of it. Because, again, the smoother they are, the easier they'll go into your target, obviously. Also, if they're, either filed or ground or sanded, they'll give you a smoother surface to where you can keep them clean easier and you don't have to worry about rust quite as much. Okay, next shot down here. Again, this is just kind of showing the three stages of a arrow point made from a flat stock. You got your flat stock here that is more or less your donor piece, diagonally here through the middle. On the right hand side, you can see the arrowhead when it's almost completed, and then on the left, again, it's the same arrowhead that we started out with up at the top. That's where it's been mounted into a shaft. And again, for mounting, a homemade plate or sheet metal broadhead point, again, this is just basically where it's showing it being set into a shaft. An arrow shaft obviously can be, purpose-made as an arrow shaft, where you start out with your wooden stock. Usually it's probably about, a 3/8 inch square chunk of wood. You're 30 inches long that you've, rounded and, smoothed the surface on. And that at the point of it, at the business end, you'd notch it, or you'd split it, or even just cut a groove down going through, and your arrowhead would be fit down into that groove and fastened into place. So let me take a look here at the time here. Oh, gee. Yeah, we're at about... at almost 26 minutes. So it's probably almost time for me to go ahead and take a short break here and wet my whistle. And then when we get back, we'll go ahead and talk about Bodkin points. And since I'm in, shall we say, a kind of a archaic mood tonight here, let's see here. Why don't we go ahead and just listen a little bit to, let's see here, a little bit of Queen. And let's see, this was kind of the intro to the Highlander, so yeah, that's kind of my mood tonight, so enjoy.
From the dawn of time we came, moving silently down through the centuries, living many secret lives, struggling to reach the time of the gathering, when the few who remain will battle to the last. No one has ever known we were among you. Until now.
In just to kind of energize myself a little bit. Like I'd said, I'm kind of shall we say, a little faded around the edges tonight. So it's been a long day. I got going at a little after 10 this morning and went until, about 7 o'clock tonight here, out there working on stuff. First engaged in the flamethrowering on the garden. That's what I call it. Basically, I use a wood burner out there. So it's, weed burner. You know, 20-pound gas cylinder with a long hose on it and with a rosebud wand. And so when I'm prepping a new area for gardens and whatnot, I'll go ahead and hook up that assembly and, clear the surface vegetation and with a flame there and, you know, basically cook it down for about an inch or two to get any of the weed seeds that are close to the surface. So went out there and went around the garden today and got rid of the creeping Jenny and creeping Charlie that kind of wants to work its way into the garden. And then went ahead and cleared a path. So like I said, you know, a little faded around the edges here tonight, so I need to have some music to kind of, you know, fire me up a little bit. So, okay, well, suppose we should probably get back to it. You know, the last section here we did the, a moderately brief overview of how to make, you know, broad arrows or broadhead points from either plate or flat stock. It's not really super complicated thing. So next thing down, this one's a little bit more complicated. This is bodkin points. Now bodkin points were used a lot in history. It's a point that's a little bit more difficult to make than the broadhead in one fashion. Obviously, if you're making a broadhead, you need a large flat piece of metal to start with. Well, a bodkin point is made from, you know, round or square stock. So it's got a little bit more of operations to do with heat, but they were used for a long time. And for example, if in battle or whatever, if a person was wearing like ring mail or, you know, boiled leather armor, this was the type of thing that was used to punch holes through the armor and the wearer of the armor. A lot of people have the mistaken idea that bodkin points were used against metal armor or plate armor. You know, that came along in probably 12th to 13th century in Europe. And plate armor basically was more designed to stop these things. Because obviously if you've got a metal point here, you know, hitting against another flat chunk of steel or iron, it's going to be a little bit harder for it to get through than trying to go through ring mail. So, but again, first picture here kind of gives us a good viewpoint of, you know, how a bodkin point is shaped. You've got, you know, where it caps over the top of an arrow shaft. So on left side in that first picture, you see an arrow shaft. The next portion, you see what looks like a semi-conical or cone-shaped section. That's the portion that would fit over the arrowhead. And then ahead of that is the actual point where it's you got a point with either, you know, three or four or more sides to it. and it's drawn out to a long, thin point. Now, this long, thin point helps, that's the portion of the arrow that's got the most weight to it. So it'll be your inertia. And that's the point is what you're shooting downrange. The arrow shaft basically guides the point. And obviously, at the far end of your arrow shaft, you have your fletching and your nock, which also help guide it. Second picture here, this is a round bodkin where that sleeve, I guess you could say, or the cap, we'll call it a sleeve for this purpose tonight, where the sleeve is round, and then ahead of that, the bodkin point is basically hammered out to a round shape. Again, it's a little bit of a wasp waist there ahead of the collar here, but it's still that's where your major weight is at. If we go down to the third picture, this is another bodkin, and in this case, once the sleeve or the collar has been formed, then the bodkin point is hammered in, and it's basically square, four-sided, tapering down to a point. And then our third picture here, our fourth picture actually, this is a pyramidal shaped bodkin. This is where it's been hammered out the same way. You got your collar there, a little bit of a wasp waist, and then the point itself has been hammered out to being cross-sectionally, it's a triangle. Now, this here would work real well for, say if you were shooting at something that was covered with chainmail or ringmail. This would punch through there and be able to either cut its way through the ringmail or pop the weld apart on ringmail. And actually, come to think of it, I should probably discuss ringmail some night here. Because if we're discussing how to poke holes through it, I should probably talk about how to make it as a little bit more protection from other things. Okay, so now let's go ahead. I'll go ahead and just kind of give you a quick briefing on it, but just kind of going through here and give you the general idea or the general method for making bodkin points. Okay, so bodkin points generally start out with using like a bar stock or a square stock of, not necessarily hardened iron or high carbon steel, but just a medium quality iron or steel. And, they'll generally be made from stock that's either 5/16 or 3/8 of an inch diameter. Obviously, each time you heat the metal in a forge, you're going to get a little bit of scale coming off of it. It's basically where the iron is oxidized by your fire, and it'll flake some off. Every time you heat iron up in a forge and pound on it, the fire scale will come off. So you lose a little bit. And so if you're figuring that you're going to be taking quite a few heats on a piece of metal, you might go a little bit more towards the 3/8 side. But if you know that you're going to be able to do it fairly quickly, then you could probably do with the 5/16. Okay. Had to pause there for a second, then I'm continuing on here. Okay, like I said, 3/8 inch steel, if you're going to be cooking it a few times, if you're not going to be cooking it as many times, you can just go ahead and use a 5/16. Or even down to a quarter if you're really quick at working with the metal. Okay, so if we go down past that first shot, basically got one there of where basically the piece of metal is shoved into the fire, and in this case, all that you want to do is heat up about the first inch and a half of the metal to working heat, which would be a nice cherry red, or, you know, a little bit more than that, even probably up to like a good orange in color. Well, once you've got it brought it up to temperature, you bring it out of your fire over to your anvil, and you can start hammering on it. Now, here I just have where I have commented here that this is the first heat, and this is where you're beginning to squish the metal out. And the thing is with this, you know, obviously this here is showing that the piece of metal is pretty cold already. You don't want to let your metal get totally cold and be pounding on it, because if you do, yeah, it'll still, you know, it'll still deform the metal, flatten it out or whatever. But if it's getting dark, you know, getting closer to, you know, back to black color on the metal, you're running into a risk of putting stresses in there and little micro cracks that you don't want to have. So as soon as the stuff loses its color when you're hammering it out, you'll need to get it back into the fire. Like I said, this is, you know, basically the first heat on it. As you can see, it's you can actually see a long bevel on here already. You know, it's getting wide out at the tip, and, you know, further back it's not as wide. But this is how you want to do it. You work from the end, get it flattened, and the metal moved out sideways. And what you're going to end up with, by the way, you're going to be shooting for having, oh, just over a 1/16 of an inch thick when you get finished on this. But obviously you don't take it all the way down to a 1/16 of an inch as you're at the end and work your way up. That first probably a little over a half inch, or about half inches, is down there probably to about 1/8 of an inch thick already, and the rest of it's still thicker. Okay, so we'll go ahead and move down here next, down to where it's labeled the second heat. And this is where you're moving back on the shaft. And if you compare the two, you can see that the first one is pretty much like a teardrop shape. This next one here, that end is almost square, and that teardrop shape is getting a little bit fatter. It's more of a heart shape already. And again, this is how you do it. You work your way back from the hot tip back towards the shaft. Okay. And, you know, once you get it, you know, fairly wide back there, then we'll go ahead and move on to the third shot here. Again, this is where it's cooled off slightly. And when you got probably, well, at this point here, this has been brought out. You can see there's a hammer handle there. Most hammer handles are usually about 1¼ inches, you know, width-wise, or, you know, the longest dimension on the cross-section. Usually about 1¼ inches. And so this here has been brought out to about a little over 1½ inches long. At this point, what you want to do is, and this will sometimes take, you know, two people to do it when you're doing this, but you bring your metal up a little bit, you know, it doesn't have to be totally hot, but if it's a little warm yet, it's still okay to work with. But you can take and lay it out on your anvil like this, and you take a hot chisel, and you make basically a little dimple in there. And obviously, since it's thicker towards the shaft, you know, that chisel is going to make a wider mark, and where it's thinner, the chisel isn't going to penetrate as deep. What this is for, this dimple, this will actually be the point where your collar will be forming around. This is basically the end of where your collar or the sleeve will be. So if we go down here to the next one, again, you'll do maybe two more heats on this. And you can see here where it's basically the sides are more squared up. And this is where you're getting it out to where it's fairly thin. And you'll actually want to hammer right next to that dimple as well to thin it down. And also on here, you can see a little bit on this photo, you can see a little bit of the fire scale scattered around on the anvil. So once those edges are hammered out and squared up a little bit, you've got probably got almost a half inch of taper here, you know, to where you get to the parallel sides. And then you got, you know, again, about a little over an inch of where it should be all pretty much the same thickness. And at this point, you want to have it down to about 3/16 of an inch. Okay, or 3/16, 1/16 of an inch. Okay, so once you have that basic shape done, the next step is where you're going to start bending that metal around to make, you're basically trying to make it roughly cylindrical in a way. But actually, is what you really have there is a long cone shape. Obviously, it's not a real wide cone at one end and narrow at the other. It's a pretty gentle cone. But what you'll do is you'll heat it up, and then you just basically gently start tapping on the edge to coast it around. And what you want to do is form that into almost like a cylinder. Yeah, to get it started, what you can do is use the edge of the anvil and just kind of, you know, tap it on that, both sides, to start getting the bend going, and then you can just work it in. Now, this is going to probably take a couple heats, and when the metal's this thin, it heats up pretty rapidly, but it also cools really fast. And, how to put it, this is probably the most difficult part. You know, getting that long, thin cone made, but it's not that bad. You know, a couple, three, four tries, and you'd find it, you know, coming around pretty darn easy. Of course, if a person's going to be mass producing the points, what one can use is a little mandrel for it, which is basically another piece of metal that's sharpened to a point that you bend it around. That can work too. But basically what you want to do is just move it around into the conical shape. Okay, so we'll move down here to the next one. And once you get through forming that around little by little, this is what you want to end up with. This is where that cone is almost closed up. You know, you might have a little bit of an opening there, but that's okay. You know, that'll allow you to fit it to your arrow later on, or the arrow shaft. So at this point you'll have basically a long thin cone at the end of your chunk of metal that you're working with. You know, it's acted as a handle for you. So at this point what you want to do is you'll heat the metal back up again, and you'll get it cut off. This cutting off can either be done with with a hot cut tool or a hot chisel, or if you do have it, you could always use a bolt cutter. You know, that works too. And what you want to do is when you cut it off, you'll cut that off about an inch to an inch and a half of where you close the cone up. You know, remember our chisel mark we made in there to form the cone around? Again, roughly from that point, which is hidden inside your cone now, or cylinder, you'll want to come roughly an inch to an inch and a half forward from that, and, you know, cut your metal off. Because this is where we start making our point on the bodkin. So, once that's done, once you've got it cut off, then obviously you'll have to, you'll have to start working the other end. So at this point, what you'll be doing is, again, your bodkin point that you're forming. Again, you'll just want to insert that piece of metal, the portion that you haven't heated already, the part that you're sharpening. That's what goes down into the coals to be heated. this other part that's you've already formed, that's going to be thinner metal, so you're going to have to be careful not to overheat that. So that's why I'm just saying, you don't shove the whole thing and bury it in the coals and then fish it out, because your cone's going to be hot and it'll deform on you, so you just want to get that tip that you're going to be sharpening down into the coals. Okay, so this is kind of where I was talking about. This is where you do your heat, you know, the next picture down, and you can see where just that tip is heated. You know, that's the part you're going to be hammering on. Okay, so now, okay, and with this here, the, you know, basically, when you're making your point, like I said, you'll either have to, you know, you could just kind of hammer the very tippy tip out and hammer it, you know, keep turning it around and around and around and just making a point out of it. Or you can just, you know, go with a little bit longer, a blow, and you can just form it in either into a, you know, a square cross section or a triangular. Probably what's better to do is probably do the square cross section. What you do that is you heat it up, you get that laid out on the anvil, you pick it up again a little bit, and you do a couple blows of your hammer on that, on the side that's facing up. And then you turn it 90 degrees and do a couple more hammer blows. Then you bring it back. And if you keep doing that, you know, just turning it 90 degrees, you know, back and forth and maybe the other direction, that'll maintain a good square cross section and it'll be stretching that point out. And when you get, when you get closer to being done, obviously it'll take less time to heat that tip up, because that's what you're trying to move out. You move that point outwards, you square it up, and you can actually get it to a pretty darn good point. Obviously, you don't have to take it down to, you know, a needle point. Probably don't want to go that far, because if you'd ever, say, be trying to shoot a critter with it, if it hit a bone, it'd possibly, you know, jam into the bone, and you have a hard time getting it out. So it doesn't need to be a needle point, but it can be, you know, fairly sharp. Okay, and down here at the bottom, ideally speaking, you know, after a person has lots of practice at doing it, this is what a finished bodkin point will look like, you know, after you've hammered it out. And obviously this has been, you know, probably wire brushed up a little bit to clean it up, you know, to get any loose fire scale off. And again, you know, if you want, you could always take a file to it to sharpen it a bit more and smooth the surfaces. Because again, if that point is smooth, it'll slice into your target that much easier. If it's rougher, obviously, it has a harder time getting through whatever, whether it be leather or rings or even skin or hide. So. Okay, and then if we move down here one more, that brings us down to a shot here where you can see a whole collection of bodkin points that someone had made. Now, obviously, these aren't mine, but this is this is basically, you know, like the hammer, one of the hammers I used for working on stuff, and the tongs that were used all the way through. Again, I have a set just like those that I had made. And yes, I've made bodkin points as well in the past. So, let me take a look here. What do we got for time here? Okay. Oh, gee, it's 55 minutes past the hour. How can I put on another piece of music and do the last section? Tell you what I'm going to do here, I think. I think what I'm going to do is save this last section about making points from spoons. I'll just do it quick here, and then I'll just throw a short piece of music here in at the end. Okay, making points from spoons. Now, this first shot here, this is your basic teaspoon. It could be a tablespoon as well, for that matter, but, you know, this particular one, a teaspoon was used. So, if we move down to the next shot here, you can see where that spoon is, you know, lined up on the anvil. And what you want to do here at this point is you want to flatten it out. If you need to, you can always heat it up, but most spoons are thin enough and have, how would you call it? They're not that stiff to start with, so you can take them and hammer them out. What you want to end up with basically is a flat surface. Once you have that spoon flattened out, like I said, can be heated as well. And I would say if you can do it, heat it. So, okay, once it's flattened out, if we go to the next picture here, you'll see one here where it's just basically a flat oval. And what you want to do is take all the way from the far end of the spoon right up the handle, using that as a guide, you make yourself a mark out there at the tip. And from there, again, you'll want to make, basically your lines coming back. So you can take and, do equal lines. So you have your arrow shape. Now, if it's a real thin material for that spoon, you can possibly cut it with the heavy-duty shears, a metal shear. If you don't have that, or if it's too thick, then you'll want to use a chisel. Again, you can just work right along it and basically chisel from one side of it to get that first line, and then for the other side, you'll want to go ahead and chisel back from the other direction. That'll give you a little bit of a head start on sharpening the blade. Or the third possibility, which is probably going to be the most common one, is you can use a hacksaw. So you just cut your edges. And then if we go down here to the last picture here, here's your basic cut spoon broadhead. It's just basically that's a spoon that's been hammered out. You've cut the arrowhead shape to it, and then you cut that spoon handle off at the length that you want to have to fasten it into your arrow shaft. And obviously, this one here is just a flat one. Again, they can be hammered on the edge and then hit with a file to sharpen it. And you've got quite a nice, nasty broadhead arrow. Okay, so here we are. Oh, gee, we're at almost 59 minutes. So tell you what, I'm just going to do this quick here, and then I'll probably condense this down a little bit. But again, thank you for joining me here in the Tinker Shop for the 18th of April of 2015. Take care, God bless, and we will see you next week, if not before. Because tomorrow night, there is the Medic Shack with Chuck and Kat and Jake. So take care, be well, be safe, and enjoy the music. Good night.